This is the John Kincaid Show.
The only place I root for bad guys is on television soap operas. I root for the bad characters. I enjoy the bad characters. The bad characters are far more interesting to me. In real life, I've encountered enough bad characters in my life that I root for the good guys. I aspire to be a good guy, and I root for the good guys.
Here's John Kincaid.
And damn, am I missing Victor Newman right now? Am I missing Valentin Cassadine and some of my other favorite villains and villainesses? I'm missing Ava Jerome. Give me some Ava Jerome. I'm missing all the soaps right now. No new episodes, Anthony. There's no new episodes right now. They're like having to show classic old episodes. I want to see my villains. Get to work. I want to see Nell. If you don't know who those people are, you're missing out. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio, or maybe I'm just nuts. I'm coming to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. With challenging times upon us, Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help you. If you need mortgage assistance, whether you're a current customer or not, contact their team 24/7. See what they can do for you at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage will be with you every single step of the way. David Sampson, Major League Baseball analyst for CBS Sports HQ, will join us coming up on the show around 20 minutes past the hour. I'll ask him about 64 hours of Jeter or whatever it is. I'm sure he'll have some interesting commentary on that. And also, I'm more importantly going to ask him, open the books! Open the books! You open the books, owners! Sure. Are we partners? Are we revenue sharing? I'll open up the books the way the NFL and the NBA players associations have access to the owner's books where we're sharing revenue. I'll open the books to you and show you how much we're making on this and that and the TV contracts. And we'll open the books on that stuff. Absolutely. Let's just enter into a partnership. I think it'd be the best thing in the world for baseball. A salary cap. I think it'd be the best thing in the world for baseball. To try to thrive, make more teams competitive, have a floor, have a cap, don't have five franchises that can outspend everybody else. Why is the NFL number one? Because they were the first one to understand the power of competition. But I digress. Top of the hour, a few things I want to get into, and we've been very intense. It's been an intense show today. And I appreciate everybody who's joined us on the show and joined in the conversation. I have a message to many of my peers in media and many of my peers in the entertainment industry and things like that, even though I'm not peers with you, I guess. But I see you. I usually see you through 280 characters or an Instagram video or something. That's how I encounter a lot of you. And it's weird because I know a lot of people that I end up encountering more just through 280 characters many, many times. But there's been a really disturbing message this week. If you are not outraged and speaking out on your social media platform, outraged over the death of George Floyd and using your platform, you're part of the problem. You are complicit in it. It is the stupidest jackassery I've ever heard. I've read these. Here are words that I wrote down yesterday. By the way, these are people in the sports industry. If you don't use your media platform, blah, 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 you are complicit in what went on in Minnesota. You are giving it affirmation. I'm using direct quotes. I won't embarrass the media members who came with this garbage. No, you aren't. You are not complicit. You are not. If you choose to not speak out about everything you're outraged with every day, you're probably leading a much more healthy existence. Living out loud absolutely embodies the life of so many of my peers in media. Living out loud. Hey, here's where I'm having dinner. Here's what I did after dinner. Here's what I'm doing today. Aren't I? Oh, isn't this great? Let me tell you about this. Oh, and then let me tell you how you should feel about this and this and this. Nobody's complicit in anything. You are complicit. Here's another one. Outrageous. You might as well have had your knee on the man's neck. I'm like, what the frick are you talking about? Excuse my language. What are you talking about? It is okay to be outraged about what happened to George Floyd. It is absolutely okay to be outraged by the riots and the violence and the destruction. And you know what else is okay? If your local sportscasters, if your local decide to say, I don't want to be in the midst of this, because you know what you're going to get? You're going to get the divisiveness crowd, the eggs, the bots, and everybody else jumping your backside everywhere you turn. It's okay. If you say anything positive, something that might even be considered positive, you get the, yeah, you Trump voters, yeah, that's what you do. And I'm like, well, dude, you're talking to the wrong person. And by the way, I was very vocal about that. Not only vocal, but even did share it a bit of my disgust with the last presidential election. I was very vocal, and you can even search some of my tweets, extremely vocal, about how I felt I didn't have a choice. There was no choice to be made. I didn't like either choice. But people are like, well, you just complimented this side, so you must be one of those people. That's the people that you don't want to deal with. And no, not everybody has to use their social media platform to say, look at me. Look how woke I am. Look, I'm right here. You don't have to. And don't be bullied into anything you don't want to do. You know what you can do? You can be active in your community. You can do good things to try to lift up others. You can do by your actions and the way you live your life. And by the way, you've got time behind a microphone every day, and you can share your thoughts. And that's what we've tried to do this morning. Shocker. Michael Jordan lied to us all. Isn't that a shocker? Isn't that amazing? I never saw that coming at all. I never thought Michael Jordan was going to lie to us in his documentary, which I laughed at. The idea that it was a documentary. What? Wait a minute. John, after such a storied broadcasting career, we would like to do a 26-minute documentary on your career. Maybe 24 if we could sell two more ads. We'd like to do a 24-minute documentary on your career. I know Michael Jordan got 10 hours. If we can get people to watch 24 minutes of you, that would be a real thing. But we're going to try to do this, okay? But, John, we're going to do this documentary, but you get editorial control over it. So when we talk about your life and talk about your career and talk about your story, we're going to give you can say thumbs up or thumbs down. You get to decide whether we're going to sit down a bunch of your peers and let them talk about working with you and your career and everything. But we're going to give you editorial control over if you don't like what this person says about you or that person says about you. We're going to let you cut that out of the show. That's not a documentary. More importantly, there are so many, and especially the sheep in the media, who have just believed. From watching The Last Dance, Michael just had a desire to try something different. He just decided he wanted to try baseball. It was something he just wanted to try. Once again, if you believe that, you are among, to me, in my opinion, just my opinion, you are among the dumbest of media members. Yeah, in the midst of the greatest career that anybody potentially had ever had in the NBA. He just decided to, yeah, let's just walk away and do something different. You believe that. Much like you believed when Michael told you, I didn't have anything to do with keeping Isaiah Thomas off the Dream Team. He looked in the camera and told you in his documentary, The Untold Story, behind the scenes with Michael Jordan. He told you, I didn't have anything to do with Isaiah Thomas not being on the Dream Team. I didn't have anything to do with that. That's false. False story. False. And it was proven this week. And by the way, Chuck Daly didn't want him on the team. Why can't you just own it? You're going to do a documentary of your life. Why can't you just own it? Because Chuck Daly, Isaiah Thomas's coach, didn't want him on the Dream Team because he didn't want the conflict. Oh, and by the way, he had Magic Johnson, which may or may not really say, oh, yeah, I'll take Magic. He didn't want him on the team. What's wrong with just as an adult later in life, just owning that? Yeah, at the time, yeah, I flex my muscles a bit. Why tell a fake story about it? What does it serve? And more importantly, as I've said to you many times before, what does it tell you about the documentary? It tells you that if something was going to paint him in a bad light, he not only had editorial control, but he was willing to tell you a different story than what really went down. It was incredibly entertaining. I thought The Last Dance was amazingly well done. Really, really good. In fact, I wanted to think it was going to let me down. It didn't. It was excellent. But I take it as entertainment. Because if you took it as being the truth or being the real story, you're foolish. Absolutely foolish. 855-212-4CBS is our number, a toll-free number sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back. This is a great thing right now. A 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. That's some savings. Visit geico.com/giveback for information and eligibility. All right, Anthony, I shared it earlier with the audience. It's been 33 years. And every time 33 years comes around, I hate it. This day, May 31st. I'll set the scene for you. I'm a young man, right out of college. First year out of college. So fresh out of Temple University. And my part-time career was working with the coaching staff of the Philadelphia Flyers, doing video and statistical analysis on game night. And I've shared pictures with you before. If I can dig up a couple on social media, I will. Being on headset, where Mike Keenan, who you all know, legendary Mike Keenan, won the Stanley Cup with the Rangers. Huge success. One of the, I believe, fourth winningest coach in NHL history. Mike Keenan was the head coach. And his assistant coaches, Paul Holmgren and E.J. McGuire. E.J., God rest his soul, has since passed. And so E.J. would be the eye in the sky coach. And he would be on headsets with us. And Paul Holmgren was behind the bench with Mike Keenan, and he'd be on headsets with us. And my friend Leon Frederick and I would be in the coach's office. And we would be logging video during a game, giving coaches up-to-the-minute statistical analysis like Keenan saying to Paul Holmgren, what are Zezel's numbers tonight facing off against this guy? And you had to have the answer, give it to him in your headset, and get it to the coaching staff so they could make immediate decisions. It was pressure. It was fun. It was awesome. The Flyers won Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals dramatically on Thursday night. And on this date, and it was a Sunday, May 31st, 1987, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. I finally thought it was going to happen. I thought it was going to happen. A lifelong Flyers fan as a kid, I thought it was going to happen. I'm working with the team. I'm right there. I'm a part of this whole amazing story. And within the first minute of play, this happened.
Here's Howe. Feeding it to Craven, back to Howe. Over to Duck Crosby. Into Eklund. Side of the net to Craven. Shot, they score! Craven from a bad angle. And it's 1-0 for the Flyers.
That's the legendary Dan Kelly. John Davidson works on the broadcast with him from TV Canada. It was 1-0 Flyers. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to be front and center and a part of a Stanley Cup champion. And then the game gets tied 1-1 in the first. And then in the second period, this happened.
Jumped in by Edvinson. Crossman trying to clear it. Gretzky intercepts. Curry! He scores!
Yeah, Yari Curry. Slouch. All-time great. Doug Crossman, I've never forgiven him for that one. Dumb giveaway. And then in the third period, while the game's 2-1, nail-biting, could it go to overtime? Could we have a seventh game overtime? This broke my heart for good.
Howe for the Flyers starts back. What a hockey game here in Edmonton. Huddy is there to knock it away for the Oilers. Now Glenn Anderson with Messier. Anderson shoots. He scores!
Flyer defenseman Crossman. Sticks that puck and it redirects through the legs. Ron Hextall and the Oilers get a two-goal lead, and there's jubilation in this building.
Jubilation, my backside. And then it ended terribly. Terribly.
Here's Lowell clearing one. The Crimin intercepted. The Crimin with 8 seconds left to Craven. Hextall still on there. Fires it up to Howe with 3 seconds left.
I hate May 31st. I wish it was a 30-day month. I wish I never had to deal with that again. Absolutely awful. Sorry for the bad memory, but it's one of the reasons that this day is one of my least favorite days in the calendar. Anthony, could you imagine a Stanley Cup ring on my finger at 22?
Been 21? Rough. Back-to-back weekends for you. It's been rough here on the JK Show. Last week, the Islanders captured their first Stanley Cup at the expense of the Flyers, and now... This week, the Oilers.
Can you imagine how obnoxious 21-year-old Johnny would have been with a Stanley Cup ring on his finger? Can you imagine? I mean, seriously, I'd be honest with you. You can be honest with you. Can you imagine how much traction I would have gotten out of that?
Oh, yeah, you'd be showing that off all over town.
Seriously. I would have been walking around naked with the Stanley Cup ring. Just say, hi. Can't wait. David Sampson tells us what's wrong with the Major League Baseball Players Association in its battle with the owners. Does he see any resolution quickly in sight? It's the JK Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
And I appreciate it when you do the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. And every day when I park my car and walk out of my parking garage, I'm staring at Bobby Cox, a statue of Bobby Cox, the skipper here in Atlanta. I look right at SunTrust Park, Truist Park, I should say. They've changed the name. I've just never gotten to see a game in Truist Park yet because they haven't played baseball yet. But we have beautiful studios here at 680 The Fan, home of the John Kincaid Show, right next door to a Major League Baseball stadium, literally right next door. Walk out my front door, I could be touching the stadium in 30 seconds. And I miss baseball badly. David Sampson has spent a lifetime in baseball with CBS Sports HQ. Spent a lifetime in the sport. And David, I want to know, first off, how are you missing it? Like, how are you missing it every day as a part of your life? Because it was a bigger part of your life than it ever was of mine.
My inner calendar is off. So that's really what it is. Baseball, to me, everyone always taught me before I got in the game, like 20 years ago, saying that there's no clocks in baseball. That's the beauty of it. I had the opposite view my whole career. There's always a clock in baseball. It was my internal clock of when spring training would happen, and then you get to Memorial Day and you're evaluating your team and what you're going to do as you head toward the trade deadline. Then you get to the end of the season, hopefully playing in October. Off-season mode starts with minor league free agents and getting your spring training roster together, and then it starts again. And that's how I would mark the months. And so everything's been a little off since I left baseball a couple of years ago. And now it's even worse because with my show, Nothing Personal, I'm able to talk about baseball and games and be a part of sports. But now it just feels different.
Now, when you look at the standoff right now between the Players Association and the ownership, do you believe there's a clock ticking on this? That we're really up against it? Because I'm starting to just do the numbers and saying they can't, if they don't get back soon and get to some agreement where they get to a modified spring training and start playing games, you're going to be bumping into next year's calendar. And I've been assured by people the plan is for baseball to have spring training as normal next year. They're not pushing back their baseball season. So what do they got to get done, and is it going to get done?
Yeah, I think that it can get done. And I've always said, and I talked about this a lot, really, because August 1st to me has been the deadline from the beginning, because that's when you can have an 81-game season and play through Thanksgiving and still start spring training just maybe 7 to 10 days late, but the season would be fine in 2021. A lot of people have written that a deadline is June 1st or June 4th or June 10th. It's a big week. It's an important week. It's so critical. And all that does, when you're inside the game, John, do you know that we never paid attention? And it's strange because I'm in the media with you now. We never paid attention to anything the media was saying other than strategically leaking things in order to elicit public sympathy or to get people to understand certain points we'd want to make who were on the other side of the negotiation. But the deadlines that are written about are really not deadlines that are focused on inside those negotiating rooms.
Can I ask you, though, as far as the, on that whole issue, I've never seen more. Whenever I get told by people, especially maybe it's because I've worked in a market for 25 some years, where I go, yeah, we don't listen to sports radio. But if there's ever a slight or anything that's disagreed with, they can recite chapter and verse what you said. They can recite. They can tell you, well, we don't listen to sports radio. It's not, and then they can. There's a franchise in town, without giving them away, they literally would have an intern transcribe our show. Listen to it and transcribe it. That's how obsessed they were with what we were saying about them.
I love where your head's at, because the way it would work when I was president of the Marlins is I had people who would listen to sports radio and read the articles, and then they would come to me if something had been said that was wrong or offensive or painful, and then I would decide, do we respond? Do we want to respond?
Right.
Do we need to respond? What is the benefit of responding? So what I meant to say is, and I'm not trying to take away the influence of what you do or what we do.
No, I get it.
What I am saying, though, is from a date standpoint in this case, the deadline really between the parties, it's not a standoff right now. It's really a normal negotiation where there are positions taken that you feel like you're entrenched in. You feel like there's never going to be a deal. But eventually what happens is a deadline that is real to them, which is around August 1st, as that comes creeping toward us, I think that's when positions move. But this is very different, John, because we've got the pandemic going on.
Sure.
There's a layer of negotiation that has not existed before between the union and the owners, and that is the whole health issue. And I'm not talking about arguing about showering or spitting or social distancing in the dugouts. I'm talking about whether or not it actually is going to be safe to resume games and playing games. And we just don't know the answer to that right now.
We have David Sampson join us, CBS Sports HQ. Follow him on Twitter, too, and link to all his stuff, because he really is. He's an entertaining guy. And you do get into a lot of issues that is not just X's and O's baseball all the time, which is interesting. Some front office type stuff, which I find fascinating. When you're talking about where these two sides are right now, I keep hearing people saying, well, the owners should open their books. Open their books. I'm like, you know what? The NBA Players Association can see part of the owner's books. The NFL Players Association can see part of the owner's books because they're partners. They're partners. They revenue share. They're partner. It's a partnership. I mean, there's whether it's tenuous or not, they're still partners. The Major League Baseball Players Association, wouldn't it be better for the sport if they truly did become partners?
Well, I think they always have been partners. There's no question about that. And it is true also that the union does see part of the books the same way in the NBA. For the union to claim and the players to claim, just show us all your books so we can see what your revenue is, et cetera. I always say this to the players because I've had this discussion with players throughout my time as president of a team. I would say, just out of curiosity, when your father, because these were young guys, right? They're in their 20s. Or when your mother, when they work for a company and they're negotiating their contract, whether it's a public company or a private company, do you get the books of your boss because you want to prove that you could make an extra $5,000, $10,000, $100,000, or $1 million? And there's no answer to that side
Correct.
Of the argument. And I would say the same thing to you and me when I'm negotiating with CBS. I don't really get the CBS other than what's public. I can't prove that they could afford to pay me another 50 grand or 100 grand or million or 5 million or 10 million because that's not the right I have. The right I have is to sell my services at the best price I can, wherever I can. And that's what the players have, and that's what free agency is.
By the way, if you get a peek at those books, I would like to share some of those numbers with you. I would like to get a little extra. Maybe we can shake them down together. Who knows? I mean, it's fun. Let me ask you this. What have you done? I have taken up grilling. I've never been a guy that cooked on the grill much. And I have become obsessed with cooking out on the grill. Now I'm up to three nights a week where I'm cooking dinner. I'm cooking the main part of our dinner. What is something you've picked up during the pandemic and the absence of baseball? There has to be something that you're doing differently that maybe you never did before.
Yeah, I'm trying to memorize the phone numbers of the restaurants I use for takeout. So that's been my thing. If I could just memorize it instead of having to look it up every time.
See, that's a good idea. All right, David, I appreciate it as always, man. And I hope you. I hope we have baseball soon. It'll be a lot of fun.
I can't wait. Have a great day. Thanks, John.
David.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
Okay. This sounds like a cartoon show theme. Anthony, this sounds like the Power Rangers or something. Doesn't it? Man.
You've never heard this song before?
No, I'm teasing you. I'm saying it sounds like a... But doesn't it sound like it should be a young superhero song?
The Karate Kid, baby.
Oh, my gosh. Legendary. Mr. Miyagi. Wax on, wax off. Can you ever thought about that, Anthony? Just getting into karate? Yeah, maybe taking on one of the beautiful arts, self-defense arts.
I was doing some jiu-jitsu before.
Oh yeah, you were. I forgot about that. You have all these different phases you've gone through. You did the Orange Theory thing for a while.
Was doing the CrossFit thing for a while.
CrossFit thing? No, that was tough. You were doing the Orange Theory thing for a while.
That was very tough. The CrossFit. After my first workout, I remember I was walking home after the workout. And I got like half a block.
You're going to pass out, weren't you?
Half a block, I started puking.
Oh, my God. I remember you doing the Orange Theory, and I asked you how were the other housewives after the workout. How were they feeling?
It was predominantly females.
So. I bet. I'm shocked. I'm telling you. The desperate housewives. I can tell you, there's one of those Orange Theory places around the corner from where I live. I've never seen a guy walk out of it. I've never seen a guy walk out of it. Maybe once a guy with a ponytail. Maybe once. All right, I got a lot of people want to get in 855-212-4CBS before we get out of here today. And by the way, I appreciate the conversation. And I honestly, I was expecting we were going to have a little more discord today, which I'm thrilled we didn't. I'm glad we've had a good interaction of ideas, and not everybody has agreed on everything, but it's been positive. And that gives me a lot of hope. Ken in Ohio joins us. Ken, how are you today, brother?
Hey, John. How's everything? Thanks for taking my call.
No problem, Ken. Things are pretty good, man. Go on to the beach in 2 weeks. And I'm already in that mode of, I'm saying, man, life's getting a little back to normal. I'm going to be sitting and staring at a beach in a couple weeks.
Hey, that's a different thing, but wear your waterproof mask.
No mask, baby. No mask at the beach. I'm going to be in the ocean. I'll get in the ocean if I have to or in the pool. I can't do it. I got to go to church yesterday for the first time in a long time and got to, but I had to wear a mask the whole time. I felt like someone had their hand over my mouth. It was just, I haven't had to do that. I could never have been a surgeon, Ken.
me neither, because you can't breathe in them.
No, I can't breathe in them. It's terrible, but how you doing?
I'm doing great. The first thing I want to say, my condolences for the family of George, his family and friends, you know, that are going through mourning. And immediately second, I want to say, may God just continue to bless all of us, mentally, physically, spiritually, and monetarily. And stand in our hearts, help us in our body and our soul. And somebody needs to say that.
Ken, that is like the most positive message of the Sunday morning that I've heard. That's excellent. That is absolutely excellent. Are you, Ken, are you a Browns fan or a Bengals fan?
I'm definitely a Browns fan.
Okay, you're feeling, are you feeling like God's going to grace you guys this year a little bit?
We're going to the Super Bowl.
Whoa. I may have to put $10 down on that when I go to Vegas in July. I may put $10.
You're going to be a rich man.
Okay, I'm going to put $10 on it, and I'm going to post it on social media. And if it wins, it's yours.
Yeah, you're going to be we're going to be very rich.
And there you go, buddy.
I'll meet you at the beach.
There you go, buddy. Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Ken. Gotta love that. All right, I got to remember to do that. I'll put $10 down on the Browns to win the Super Bowl in Ken's honor. Eddie in Seattle joins us. Eddie, welcome to the John Kincaid Show. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
What are you up to, man?
I just wanted to add that the only way to change behavior in society, the workplace, police, is if there are consequences for your behavior. That's the only way you change behavior, is there are immediate consequences. For instance, if you said a curse word that was very derogatory, you would have a swift and immediate consequence. And that's the way you change behavior. The racism is going to be there. It's going to always be there, you know. But you change society as far as what people do at home is one thing. But in society, you have consequences for your behavior that will change your behavior.
And also, right, we need consistent implementation, correct?
Exactly, all over the country. And I want to throw something out there, just food for thought for people.
Sure.
Just like me as a black male, when people look at you and they look at me and they say, wow, the only good thing about him is if he were dead, you know, that's a hard, it changes a person. And like most white people, you probably only the bell curve, like 5 to 10% of white people really feel that way. But when other people don't say anything, that makes the person that is happening to, it changes you. It changes your whole being.
Well, you know what changes us, though? Honestly, I mean, and just not to get too deep with you here, but if you'll indulge me, is I didn't know, like as far as somebody that I like really knew that was African-American till my senior year of high school. I, in fact, never had a classmate till my senior year of high school
right.
who was African-American. Then I went to Temple University in the heart of North Philadelphia, and I was in a melting pot of cultures. And it was eye-opening to me. And I learned a lot of things that I never knew growing up where I grew up in a middle-class, working-class neighborhood in suburban Philly. But everybody looked like me. But everybody looked like me. You know what I mean? Everybody sounded like me.
Temple wouldn't have been that way if they hadn't had some consequences and not got some grants from the government, things
sure.
like that, if they didn't
sure.
integrate.
And so. I'm proud that my daughter, who's going into her junior year now, she's just ended her 10th grade year, she wants to be a presidential scholar at Temple. She wants to go to where her dad went because she likes the vibe there. She likes the multiculturalism. She likes that kind of stuff. So
people
she's excited
for it.
People
don't know what they're missing out on when they get different points of view. They really miss out on a lot.
And you know what, too, is the and just to finish up, my wife's family, my wife is an immigrant, legal immigrant from Jamaica. And her family is multiracial. And so I was also exposed to that now as having a multiracial family tree now that is going forward.
Wow.
And that's been different. But all these things, what it takes is experiencing it. You know what I mean? I would never have known that if I lived the life that I always had led. And there would have been nothing wrong with doing that, but I don't think I would have known as much about different things going on.
Hey, I call it the fear of being eaten by a sandwich. You know, it's just not that bad.
My man, call me back sometime, all right?
Okay.
Take care, buddy. The fear of being eaten by a sandwich. I love that. I'm writing that one down. I'm going to Bogart that one, though. He's going to be listening sometime, and he's going to hear me use that with somebody, and he's going to be like, damn, he stole that from me. He stole that from me. Man, That's very, very good. I would just like people to be honest. And the one thing is there's honest. We've had some really honest discussion and debate this morning on the show. And one of the things that I keep hearing from people, and by the way, the reaction from the mayor of my city Keisha Lance Bottoms went viral. And then T.I. and Killer Mike get up and speak, and they had their own messages, and much that I agreed with, some that I disagreed with. But overall, still, dialogue, listening ears on. It was, you know, it's an interesting thing. But I hear from people it's during this entire George Floyd process, and I want just people to be honest. Be honest. Be intellectually, have some integrity, and be honest. I've heard people over and over again saying, well, what you need to do is vote. What you need to do is get out and vote. So I just ask you to be introspective. These problems have existed long before last presidential election. They've, in fact, been involved in every presidential election in my lifetime. These problems, I'm in my 50s. These problems aren't new. These problems tend to spike up, spike down, spike up, spike down. But we truly have never made any incredible, like significant progress in the dialogue. But when I hear people just toss out the, well, you have to vote, get out and vote, I'm going to ask you something. And I'm going to ask you to be honest and think about this. If the racism and the problems we've been dealing with and our communities are dealing with, if they are systematic, if the, and I don't believe it's a claim, I believe it is a fact. So if you believe it's systematic, I want you to be honest and look at your system. If you're telling me and everybody else on your social media or otherwise, well, it's important to vote. Every president in the United States in their history has had to deal with this, has been dealing with this, as long as I've been alive. But systematically, the system that affects us, the system that affects me, is my mayor, my congressman, my senator, far more than my president, whoever the president is. And as you know, I didn't vote in the last presidential election for president. I've told you that. We talked about it before the election. We didn't get into the politics of it, but I said, I'm not voting for either candidate. I'll vote for every other thing on the docket. I'm just not going to do it. But if we want to attack things that are systematically broken, then systematically change your system. Are you electing the same officials over and over and over again? Are they not changing things? Because your mayors, your congressmen, your senators, they far more affect our lives. And that's where we need to make changes. And it doesn't matter what party it is, you need to make changes. We need different ideas. We need different leaders. We need different thought processes. And you know what we need? We need more of the people who listen to this show every week. That's what we need more of. Because today, and I told Anthony before the show and I told him during the show, I expected this to be a little more contentious dialogue. And we still got in to talk about the NFL and Major League Baseball. We didn't talk much about the NBA coming back today. But I was thinking today was going to be more of a contentious day. I'm thrilled that it wasn't. I'm thrilled that it was a solid exchange of ideas. I'm thrilled that people listened to each other today. I'm thrilled that we weren't yelling at each other and debating all the different things. And what was the best part? Half the callers agreed with some of what I said and disagreed with this point. If we all listen, all put our listening ears on. Let's go back to Mrs. Oshinsky's class. That was my daughter's pre-K teacher. Dana's awesome. And Mrs. Oshinsky would tell the kids, put on your listening ears. Turn them on. Now it's time to listen. We all shouldn't need Mrs. Oshinsky to tell us to turn on our listening ears. We're all adults. Let's start listening a little bit better. And again, if we're better next Sunday than we were this Sunday, it's going to be better. And hopefully, like the NBA and like the NHL, we're going to get closer to having Major League Baseball back. Tony Pierno on Twitter, at Tony Pierno. He's the best. Mark Renee did a great job today, too. I hope you have a wonderful week. Let's have a little peace. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.